Running a business comes with pressure. Remote workforces, HR compliance, attaining top talent. You start to feel boxed in. Fortunately, there's Insperity. They put 30-plus years of HR service and technology to work, offering my employees competitive benefit options while lightening my HR load. Instead of obstacles, I'm surrounded by people empowered to be their best. With Insperity, nothing seems impossible. Insperity, HR that makes a difference.
Owning a business comes with pressure. There's a limit to what I can do and still keep employees engaged. Fortunately, there's Insperity. They put 30-plus years of HR experience to work to help me with hiring, training, HR administration, and compliance, while giving my employees competitive benefit options. And because I'm able to focus on other priorities, my employees can thrive and my business can grow. With Insperity, nothing seems impossible. Insperity, HR that makes a difference.
You knew the job was dangerous when you took it, Fred.
I have a question. Shh, be respectful of me.
You can act like a man!
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
I guess I should salute you as a worthy adversary and all that, but the truth is, I really did hate your guts.
This is a Single Storm podcast.
When you're a Democrat, you expect certain things from your politicians, right? You expect that when you elect them, they're going to do what you elected them to do. For example, if you're a Democrat voter, you want totalitarianism. You want complete government control over everything in your life because I guess Democrat voters trust government, and they have an innate trust in government, so much so they want to give it power that it doesn't have constitutionally, that it doesn't have a right to have constitutionally. When you're a Democrat voter, you vote so that your politicians will raise taxes on the promise they're going to take those taxes and give that money to you, whether you earn it or not. Democrat expectations of their politicians go just that far. But when Democrat politicians tell their voters, you're going to have to do this, like, for example, your taxes are going up, they say, okay, whatever you want. When Democrat politicians say to their voters, you're going to have to accept the government education monopoly, even though 53% in Texas of Democrats say that they want parental school choice and education freedom. When the Democrat constituency, the majority of the constituency, says, we want parental school choice and education freedom, their elected officials say, no, you can't have it. And Democrat voters go, okay, whatever you say. Folks, even when Democrats say you don't get to vote on who you want to be president, Democrat voters say, okay. And when the DNC says to Democrat voters, there will be no debates, there will be no competition of ideas in the Democrat Party, the voters go, okay. This is Steve Hayes at his new home, because he's a never-Trumper, over on NBC. Listen to him reminding the Democrats over at NBC that 6 out of 10 Democrats, voters, they want a choice other than Beijing Biden. Listen to this.
Steve, he's got a math problem, as Jen points out, and a message challenge, right? I mean, is he running for a younger version of President Biden? Could that resonate and chip away at support in a general?
Well, I would say you shouldn't start your campaign by saying you're not running against the person you're running against. That's a problem on the messages.
Folks are talking about this Democrat, Dean Phillips. Dean Phillips challenging Beijing Biden for the Democrat nomination. And the Democrat Party says, yeah, so what? Go ahead and challenge away. You're not getting debates, and you're not getting any place on the ballot. So that's what they're talking about. This Congressman Dean Phillips from, I think he's from Minnesota, saying, "Yeah, I'm going to run for the Democrat nomination." And the DNC says Joe Biden's our guy, and we tell our voters no primary for you, no voting for you. And our voters say, okay.
But look, I think the challenge for the Biden White House, the Biden campaign, he speaks for a lot of Democrats. In our own NBC poll last month, 6 in 10 Democrats said that they wanted a challenger to Joe Biden. 74% of registered voters say that they want Joe Biden to be challenged. Yeah. They're not comfortable with him. He's speaking for some voters, and it's a problem. We've got 53 weeks to the election, to the general election next year. Joe Biden does make mistakes. You don't have to be sort of Sean Hannity and create some big conspiracy about Joe Biden's mental capabilities. It's a problem, and people are going to see more of it, not less of it, in the next year.
Wait, why take the shot at Sean Hannity? I don't get that. You know, anybody can see that Joe Biden's mental decline is extensive, and it puts this country at risk. Everybody can see that. Everybody knows that. But anyway, so there's Steve Hayes reminding the Democrats that, hey, all you Democrats here at NBC, you know that the Democrat Party, the voters, they want a choice, but the Democrat Party says you don't get one, and Democrat voters are A-OK with it. Now, Republican voters, conservative base of the Republican Party, yeah, not so much. The base of the Republican Party believes, hey, you shrubs in government work for us. And when you go up there, you're supposed to do our will, not your own. Folks, I believe that Kevin McCarthy would be Speaker of the House today if he had just said, well, this is how we're different from Democrats. We're actually going to do work. If Kevin McCarthy had put together 12 appropriation bills and done them on time, they're supposed to be done by the end of summer. And if they weren't done, he should have said the House is staying in session until we get these bills done, and kept his House of Representatives there through August, through the August recess. No vacations. You guys didn't do the job. No vacations. Do your damn work. And if he had taken that stand, he would be Speaker of the House today. I promise you he would be, because then he would take those bills. He'd throw it over to the lazy, do-nothing, Democrat-controlled Senate, and they would sit there and meander and do nothing and do nothing, and then say, oh, there's an emergency. There's an emergency. We've got to do a continuing resolution. We've got to do an omnibus. And then the House would say, no, we don't. No, we don't. We had 12 spending bills. That's our bid right there. We're not going to do, just because you guys don't want to work for a living doesn't mean you guys want to, if you Democrats want to shut the government down, go ahead. We did our work. But guess what? Kevin McCarthy didn't do that. And they wanted to make Republicans and Democrats own this governing by emergency. And so that they would force all their members to vote on utter crap, which is what they've done for the last 15 years. Here, take this boatload of crap and vote on it. Well, don't I get to read it? Nope, just vote on it. And that's why we're, you know, $34 trillion in debt, heading toward $34 trillion in debt and heading toward 41 within a year if we keep up this pace of overspending. So Republicans, voters, don't like it when Republicans don't deliver. Look at what happened in the Texas House. The Texas House, the reprobates who were in the Texas House leadership, calling themselves Republicans, they went out 16 days, didn't do any work of the 30-day special session. And then they claimed at the end of the special session, they ran out of time and couldn't get parental school choice and education freedom done, which is what the majority of Texans, Republicans, Democrats, Independents want. They couldn't get it done. It wasn't, folks, and they claimed, we ran out of time. No. They didn't run out of time. They ran out the clock. And there's a big, big difference. Folks, we talk about the future of the Republican Party. Is there a new day in Washington? And when will there be a new day in Texas when we get rid of these pro-Democrat Republicans running the Texas House? We talk about the federal stuff first with a sitting congressman coming up next on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word word from our sponsor.
Are you sick of all these Medicare commercials? Well, what if you're under 65 and need quality, affordable health coverage? American Medical Plan specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays at the doctor and no deductible on all outpatient services, including surgeries. You pick your doctors and hospitals. There are private plans, enroll anytime, and they are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plans. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Do you support the sanctity of life? Our military, our veterans, our first responders? Well, so does Patriot Mobile. They have great discounts for all of those folks, plus you multi-line users out there. But that's not where Patriot Mobile stops. They continue their support by donating millions every single year to conservative causes that you and I care about. And if that isn't enough to get you to switch, how's about the fact that Patriot Mobile isn't limited to just one network? They have all three major carriers. That means they provide an industry-leading coverage guarantee. Need more reasons to switch? When you go to patriotmobile.com/storm and you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support me. So you get great value, support the causes you love, and keep your liberty-loving Latino's voice independent, all for making the switch and putting your hard-earned money that you're already spending to work at battling the woke. Call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT, or go to patriotmobile.com/storm. Use the promo code STORM. That gets you free activation. 972-PATRIOT and patriotmobile.com/storm.
Genital mutilation is happening to Texas kids. These abusive medical practices are being pushed by the radical woke leftists in our state. You can go to texasscorecard.com to learn more and get real news for real Texans.
Congressman Matt Rosendale, he represents the 2nd Congressional District in the great state of Montana. He's a Freedom Caucus member, sits on the House Veterans Affairs and Natural Resources Committees. Congressman, welcome back.
Thank you, Chris, for having me on.
Sir, you were one of eight who voted to oust Kevin McCarthy. What is the mood now in the caucus under arguably a more conservative and effective conservative like Speaker Johnson?
Anyone who watched The Wizard of Oz and they saw all the guards and the gargoyles who were under the reign and tyranny of the Wicked Witch of the West, and they acted like they were dedicated followers, when they saw Dorothy dump the bucket of hot water onto the witch and dissolve her and got rid of her, and all of a sudden this weight was lifted off of the followers that they were able to speak freely, and they overjoyed, and they were with glee because they were going to be able to live in freedom again. That's what the House of Representatives looks like.
Okay, understood. Now, look, I did say that Speaker McCarthy had an unenviable job. Because, and this is what I thought was the fundamental unfairness and what's going to inform my next question, Congressman, is that conservatives like yourself and like Matt Gaetz, we all knew who you guys were. We all knew your name. However, the other side of the equation, the so-called squishes, the moderates, the Republicans who were threatening to side with Democrats to undermine the Republican Party, their names to this day, I still don't know their names. And I think that's the other end of the spectrum that was pulling Mr. McCarthy in several different directions. So by my count, though, as far as results are concerned, the GOP was unable to enact very little to stop the Democrats' profligate spending, lawlessness in the streets and at the borders for the first 10 and a half months of the Republicans' control of the Congress. Is that fair?
Yes, and the reason is, Chris, is because we did not use the power of the purse strings that the founders had granted us. Okay, we passed H.R. 1, which was the domestic energy legislation, incredible piece of legegislation. We passed H.R. 2, which was the most comprehensive and conservative immigration and border security legislation that I'm told. I've only been here less than three years. I'm told it was the most comprehensive and conservative legislation that had been passed in Washington. And yet, when we got to the big spending measures, that's when Kevin sold us out. Whether it was the debt ceiling package that he had more Democrats than Republicans help him pass that, or whether it was the continuing resolution, which all present Democrats voted for and 125 Republicans voted for. I am so tired of listening to the Republicans go across this nation and campaign basically the same way that I do, on limited government, free markets, personal responsibility. And then when we have an opportunity to reduce the spending through developing the appropriation bills as per the Budget Act of 1974 calls for, that one of the commentators I just heard, the recorded message, said that, yeah, that's what we should be doing. And when we propose these reductions in spending and we can only garner 75 to 125 Republicans to reduce that spending, it's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment. He said something about the new reality of what we're working in. Here's the new reality everybody needs to face, and that is we are dealing with a $33 trillion national debt today, okay? And based upon the proposed spending and the proposed revenue, we have $5 trillion roughly a year coming in, but they are proposing to spend about $7 trillion a year. It's going to take about $1 trillion a year to service the interest on the loan on that $33 trillion. So that means we have $4 trillion to be able to spend, and that means we have $3 trillion a year that's going to be put on top of the national debt every year for as far as we can see. Chris, in 5 years, that means we will have a $50 trillion national debt, which will consume 50% of the annual revenue. So if you think we're having difficult times now trying to reduce spending, I will assure you, in 5 years, when we have to cut 50%, what are people going to do then?
Right.
I mean, I just watched $1.2 billion get approved for renewable energy spending that is going to do nothing but line the pockets of corporate interests, not only here, but in China. And the Republican Party would not remove that from our spending. This is what the problem is.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. And again, folks, what we're talking about is when we reach $50 trillion in debt, the interest payment, including with interest rates going as high up as they have been going, the interest payments alone on the national debt will eclipse defense spending. And it is absolutely insane. But we're barreling toward this end, and nobody seems to be tapping on the brakes. And when I mean nobody, I mean nobody. Congressman Matt Rosendale, he represents the 2nd Congressional District in the great state of Montana. And, you know, that took me right where I wanted to go about this discussion about appropriations, because the appropriations bills should have been completed by summer. And instead of going on vacation, Congress, the House of Representatives, should have been kept in session to finish those bills and then hand it over to the lazy Senate so they can meander. But Kevin McCarthy chose not to do the work and chose to let everybody go on August recess. Shouldn't the Republicans abandon the Democrats' work ethic?
100%. This was an engineered crisis. The Budget Act of 1974 calls for those appropriation bills to be delivered from the House by June 30. They weren't delivered by June 30. They weren't delivered by July 30. They weren't delivered by August 30 after we came back, Chris. And that's when several of us got together and said, we demand that these bills be brought to the floor, and we did some maneuvering on the House floor to force those bills to come up. That's the only reason we were able to bring four of the bills forward in September the way that we did. This all should have been done back in June, okay? And but it gave Kevin McCarthy the ability to engineer this crisis so that we were pushed up against the deadline, so that it would justify a continuing resolution, so that no one has to make any very difficult votes. And so what's a continuing resolution? It continues the past budget and the past policies. So why in the world would I vote for a continuing resolution that maintains Nancy Pelosi's spending levels and Joe Biden's policies? I just spent 2 years voting against that.
Right.
So this is what had been engineered.
The continuing resolution, the omnibus type spending bills, they are fake budgets. They are what's resulted in the $34 trillion in debt that we continue to rack up into our great, great grandchildren. And of course, those who made those decisions to do that type of budgeting, if you can even call it that, They'll be long dead before our great-great-grandchildren have to pay the piper for what they're doing today. Let me pivot, if we can, to funding to our allies over in Israel, to funding for Ukraine. There was a move by the Biden regime to lump all of this into a massive spending bill. And I think there's a move in the House of Representatives to separate this so they can be two separate votes. Is that going to happen?
I think it absolutely will. I saw the president, I watched his speech 2 weeks ago as he struggled to get through it and talked about the supplemental bill that he wanted to put forward. And at the end of the conversation, he basically said that he wanted to get $60 billion more for Ukraine. The conversation was much more about Ukraine than it was the terrorist and heinous attack on Israel by Hamas. And I personally found it just unfortunate to watch, again, our president try to struggle through a speech, number one, and number two, justify sending more money to Ukraine. Again, it was six out of the $100 billion, he wanted to send $60 billion to Ukraine. I think it was $14 billion he wanted to carve out for Israel. Another $12, $14 billion for, quote, border security for here. But, Chris, keep in mind, what they are calling border security is nothing more than building housing and providing financial aid for illegal immigrants to come into our country.
Yep.
And that is not going to help cure the problems. As a matter of fact, it will simply exacerbate those problems. We know how to secure our southern border. It's to complete the wall, and it's to put some policies back in place that the Trump administration had. And so, anyway, all that being piled together, if you recall back in January, not only did we have the speaker's battle, but a very big portion of that was about restoring regular order to Congress and passing a rules package that included 72 hours to review the text of any bill before we were asked to vote on it, single subject legislation. And so if Biden thinks that he's going to send a bill that includes Ukraine funding, Israel funding, Hawaii aid funding, Florida aid funding, we're not going to
wow,
accept that.
Well, look, you're absolutely right about, and you took me right where I wanted to go with the Joe Biden's proposal, folks, for border spending money is basically he wants to use your taxpayer money to facilitate millions more of illegal aliens to come into this country. And that's what I want to talk with you about, Congressman, because in the context of we saw what happened, what Hamas was able to pull off with military age men that stormed their secure border, which arguably way more secure than our southern border is, and unleashed the carnage that happened there. Your political opposition, the Democrat Party, along with the Biden regime, have just facilitated 8 million mostly military-age illegal alien men into the United States. And we just saw a military-age man going on a shooting rampage that killed 18 of our fellow citizens in Maine. How concerned are you as a sitting member of Congress? The Democrats have set us up for massive attacks in multiple cities by thousands upon thousands of individuals who have not been vetted, who they just let into the United States.
Chris, I've got grave concerns about this, and I've been sounding the alarms for 2 years now. I cannot believe that the American people have not paid more attention to this issue. We know that there's somewhere between 6 and 7 million illegal immigrants that have come in during the Biden administration that have had encounters with law enforcement, and they represent, it's like the UN down there. I've traveled to the southern border 3 times with my good friend Andy Biggs, representative from Arizona, and he tries to bring as many people down there as possible so that they can see exactly firsthand what is going on. But that's the ones that don't concern me as much as the others. So you've got what they call the gotaways, and they're somewhere near 1.5 million.
Actually, it's up to 3 million known gotaways at this point, Congressman. And we have no idea who they are, what they're here to do.
Exactly.
But you see the film footage of, you know, because we're down there, we're watching the Joe Biden, the Democrat come in, come one, come all into the United States approach. And they aren't women and children. It's a whole bunch of military age men that, by the way, back in 2006, I saw a CIA report that detailed how radicalized Islamic fundamentalist terrorists were learning Spanish and learning how to blend in with the huge waves of illegal aliens coming into the country. Of course, Democrats don't care about the harm they're unleashing on this country, but those who are conservatives do. Last thing I have for you, Congressman, kind of off the beaten path, but I think it is indicative of our political opponents, the leftists, the Marxists, the socialists, in this Green New Deal. And you sit on the Resources Committee, so you may have some familiarity with this. We see the green energy that the left wing wants to impose on this country is incredibly toxic. From the batteries to the solar panels to the non-biodegradable windmill blades, they're going to cause all manner of toxicity in the soil once all this stuff gets back into the ground. But not to mention the slavery, Congressman, that goes into this supply chain, whether it be these lithium mines, these dirty cobalt mines. This is part of the Democrats' agenda to save the planet. Slavery is their agenda for saving the planet. What are your comments on that, sir?
You are spot on. It has been proven that 80% of the labor that is utilized to produce all these solar panels that people are purchasing from China comes from slave labor. And we bring this up time and time and time again in the Natural Resources Committee, and the Democrats refuse to acknowledge it. It's like, why in the world are you pushing this renewable energy scheme and worse yet, not allowing us to provide those resources right here domestically? They keep us from permitting our mines for critical minerals, from being able to produce these products ourselves. By keeping all of that shut down, they're forcing it overseas, and we know that China is using slave labor. We know that they don't have the environmental concerns and mitigation practices that we do. We say, if you truly believe in helping the earth and the people that live upon it, then you would demand that these things were done here, because no one else in the world does it in cleaner, safer, better labor conditions, better environmental standards than what we do here in the United States of America. And by forcing it overseas, you're hurting the environment and you are literally killing people.
And what they're doing on the African continent is equally deplorable. Women and children and men forced into labor to mine the cobalt that AOC wants and the lithium that Joe Biden wants to put into these car batteries, which again will ultimately end up in our soil and contaminating the water table. That's the Democrats' vision. They have been responsible for slavery in this country, dating back to the Jim Crow South and before. And now the Democrats are responsible for exporting slavery all over the globe to fund their Green New Deal. Congressman Matt Rosendale, 2nd Congressional District of the great state of Montana, sir. I appreciate the visit.
Thank you so much for having me on, Chris.
That's going to put a wrap on this Salcedo Storm podcast. Do me and yourself a favor, my friends. Visit a couple of websites. The first one is TexasScorecard.com. You want to keep track of, well, all the things not getting done in the Texas House and all the things that are getting done in the Texas Senate. Well, go to TexasScorecard.com. They will keep you up to date on the shenanigans from these pro-Democrat Republicans who are selling out their voters. Also, check out ChrisSalcedo.com. That's where you find me. The Chris Salcedo Show is on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. That's simulcast on Rumble and Getter, and also on Newsmax 2. Also check out on Newsmax 1 in the afternoon, the Chris Salcedo Show, Monday through Friday, 4 o'clock in the afternoon until 5. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government. It is rather measured by how much power is reserved for you and me. We, the people. Stay safe out there, my friends.
At Arizona State University, we're committed to our students' success. That's why we've designed our online courses to utilize adaptive technology for enhanced learning. Explore more than 300 programs online from the nation's most innovative university. Visit asuonline.asu.edu.
Running a business comes with pressure. Fortunately, there's Insperity, offering my employees competitive benefit options, providing compliance advice,
and lightening my HR load. With Inspirity, nothing seems impossible. Inspirity, HR that makes a difference.